Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. You may be seated. Graduates in waiting, should I say rather, those waiting to be pastors and deaconesses, faculty, board of control, family and friends, all who are gathered here this day. 37 years ago, I sat where you are now sitting. Well, at least I think I sat there. I really have no recollection of this service whatsoever. And I'm not sure that you will have much of a recollection either. In fact, it may seem to you that everything that is happening through these next days is extraneous to who you are and what you are to be about. Because most of you already have what you came here for. You have a call. You have a place to go. You are already making plans for ordination and consecration, for the big move and an installation. You are chomping at the bit to start your new lives as pastors and deaconesses of Christ Church. So it's no wonder that it's going to be hard for you to keep your attention on what is being said here. And it's also true then that no matter how long or how short my sermon is, it will be too long in your minds. Yet even at this juncture, the Lord has something to say to you. I will admit at the beginning that this gospel read for today is hardly the inspirational and motivational text you might expect for a class of church workers in waiting. Now, the first part you get, and it seems very personal to you. A little while and you will see me no longer, and that's exactly the truth. A little while and you will be gone, happily, from Fort Wayne, embracing this new chapter of your lives. But I can tell you that the second part is also equally true. A little while and you will see me again, as an ancient alumnus returning to this place after many years. I pray that this will be true of you as well, that this place will be a place you return to often. But then the text seems to go downhill. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, and the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Till now you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Of course, our Lord is speaking of something larger than a baccalaureate or a graduation time at a seminary. He's talking about his crucifixion, death, and resurrection. But I wonder if this is exactly the right text for you to hear right now, at this juncture in your lives. You may not want to hear it, but you need to hear it. The ministry that will await you is filled with defeats and disappointments. I can't remember a moment of my baccalaureate, but I cannot forget the sadness of finding out that all my professors were wrong. Your people will not follow you into the gates of hell. Your people have itching ears who love to hear the feel-good words more than they love to hear the word of the cross. You will be severely tempted to tell them what you think they want to hear. You will go out into the church and you will not encounter fully completed saints. You will instead find sinners in the worst moments of their lives. You will meet people as they are, as sinners, wearing the guilt of their shame, the thoughts no one else may know, but they cannot forget, the words that should not have been spoken, the deeds tainted by evil. You will meet them as angry people who are just as angry with themselves as they are with the world around them over the failures and failings that are all too common. You will meet them as a people disappointed and hesitant to believe because they have heard so many promises that have been broken, and they have carried in their lives the weight of too many disappointments. You will meet them as a people who are filled with pride, content with the relative righteousness of being better than some, even though they may not be as good as others. You will meet them as the weak who have caved in the face of temptation too often to count. And it may appear to you that you have nothing much to offer these people except judgment and condemnation. It may appear to you that the world is laughing at you, and believe you me, it is, because there you stand against them with a pop gun while they are the most well-armed and equipped of enemies. That's how it seems when you stand before the world with only the word and the sacraments. It will seem to you that the only way to make things happen, and that's what you want to do, you want to make a difference. The only way to make things happen will be to appeal to the law or to echo the happy talk of preachers who tell people what they want to hear. And you will be tempted to judge the success of your work by either the moral improvement of the lives of your people or their contentment and happiness. All of this is true, but it's not the whole truth. It is a fairly accurate picture of the disappointment side of earnest people who ache to do God's bidding, but it's not the whole picture. As tempting as it is to see all that is wrong with the church, do not forget the Lord has not left you on your own. He has not left you to your own devices. He has not abandoned those who wear his name before the world. Once Eve heard those harsh words, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow so that you shall bring forth your children in pain." Words that every woman since has felt. But they are also words that we feel in the church, our mother in the faith. Yet Jesus spoke to Eve and to all her children, to the church and to you, saying, "A woman in labor has sorrow, but her focus is on the joy that comes from the outcome of her labor, her child. There is pain, to be sure. But all any mom in labor cares about is birthing that baby. Her pain fades because of the joy that is to come. The church militant is like that woman in labor. You and I live in the church of today where there is sorrow, pain, and struggle. But we also live in the church that is not yet, the consummation of perfect peace and perfect joy. It is a tension in which we live at one and the same time. We live a life of waiting, waiting for God to do what he has promised to do, waiting for the future that God has prepared to unfold, a future we do not know by sight, but we know by faith. I'm here to say to you today, do not give up. Do not despair. Do not grow weary in well-doing. Do not judge by what you see with your eyes. Instead, see by faith the promise of God. Let God do the judging with his mercy in Christ. This life and this work that you do, whether it is brief or long, it is surely transitory, but that doesn't mean it is not important. What you do is essential if this life is to give way to the future that God has prepared. Yet before the joy can be complete, it has to be tested by sorrow. Before the peace can be perfect, it will be tested by conflict. Before the end comes, it will be tested by a people who must wait upon the Lord. You are not in charge of things any more than any woman is in charge of her labor. The baby is in charge. For all her pain and breathing, the woman is just going along for the ride. Waiting for the destination and hastening that destination by doing what God has given her to do. So it is for you. You are not in charge. You are going along for the ride. God is the one who is bringing all things to their ultimate culmination. But that does not mean that you do nothing, and it does not mean that your work is not important. For God brings his future through the work that you do through his word and sacraments. Like the woman in childbirth, the focus needs to be on the joy that is to come, on the outcome, and not on the present pain. Focus on that promise of God and not on yourself. Focus on the means of grace and not on your skills or your lack thereof. Focus on the future God has created from the past of Christ crucified and risen. Encourage your people in this gospel, and you listen to it as well. For it is not the office holder who matters, but the office. Not the sorrows and struggles that the world will heap upon you, but the Lord who has borne them all for you once upon the cross and who still bears them with you. Not on the sinner and how great the sin, but upon the Lord whose forgiveness bears the sins away. Not on the judgment of the world, but the declaration of the Lord, the sinner just and saintly in Christ. Not on the moment, no matter how wonderful it seems or how bleak, but on the future that God has prepared through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is with you. He has called you by name. He has invested the blood of Christ in you. He will not abandon you. He loves you not with a hug, but with arms outstretched in suffering. He has freed you not with silver or gold, but with the holy and precious blood of Christ. He will vindicate you against your enemies. He will rescue you when you fall. The pain of this time of labor is not some punishment from God. It is rather proof that you belong to him. For as the world treated Jesus, so it will treat you. But do not despair. If God can be for us, who can be against us? Your day is coming soon. Until that day comes, be strong in the strength of the Lord. Trust that his grace is sufficient for all the needs that you have and for the offices committed to you. His word and sacraments are not only the means of grace for those whom you will serve. These are your food. These are your strength. These are your comfort. And these will be your peace. Daily repent. And regularly avail yourself of the comfort of private confession and absolution. And no one will be able to lay any charge against you. Feast where your people will feast. In the place where the Passover is fulfilled and where the heavenly banquet is anticipated, in the flesh and blood of Christ given and received in the Eucharist. Live captive to that efficacious word that alone delivers what it says and does what it promises. When I began, I told you that you would see your people at the worst moments of their lives. Let me end by saying, you will also see your people at the best moments of their lives. you will see them at the font, where the dead are united with the death and resurrection of Christ and are reborn by the power of his love. You will see them through the word, which you will address to them as the word of life that directs their new hearts to love the Lord's commandments and to live in them in their daily lives. At the confession, you will absolve them and restore their clear conscience through the keys. At the table, you will feed them Christ's flesh until they want for nothing more, and Christ's blood that cleanses them from all sin. In manifold ways, you will instruct them, sometimes with words and sometimes with the ministry simply of presence. You will show to them the love of Christ, not as some sentimental feeling, but as the strong love that is able to bear one another's burdens. Ours is not a ministry of ideas. Ours is not a therapeutic gospel of good feelings. Ours is the word of the cross that heals sin and kills death. The world will laugh, to be sure, but its laughter is hollow because God is working through you to accomplish his purpose. Your joy will be tested, but remain faithful and it will be eternal. Fear not the labor. Instead, focus on the outcome. You will have sorrow now, but your hearts will rejoice in the one, the Lord Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and scorned its shame. Endure, be faithful, and you will be saved. Be faithful and you will receive the crown of life that no one can take from you. And if you have done what Christ has called you to do, no matter what it seems, it will be enough. It will be enough for him to accomplish his purpose in you, among you, and through you. And it will be enough to bring many into the kingdom with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.